Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This blind child would have just now had to waste his knowledge and intelligence and never been able to realize the benefits that he would be able to realize after he got an education.
Melting Pot, a global podcast series hosted by Pyle, connects guests who have inspiring stories and reaches out to a multicultural audience over 52 countries. Guests are diverse, such as celebrities, entrepreneurs, travelers, and many more who've had a turning point in their lives and moved over to a holistic lifestyle. Follow us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, social media.
Hi, everyone. Today, I am in conversation with Mohan Wanchu. Mohan is talking to me from New York City. And I am in Singapore, so we have a 12-hour time difference. But thank you, Mohan, for being up and early, you know, just for this interview. So just a very quick introduction. Mohan is the former CEO of EC Infosystems. He sold his extremely successful business in 2021 to focus on philanthropic endeavors related to his roots in India. So he's a very successful entrepreneur who just decided that it was time to bring change to the world. And I'm really happy to be talking to you today, Mohan. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Pyle, for inviting me to your show, and glad to be a part of it.
Excellent. So let's just kickstart the conversation with your journey from India to the US. How and when did that happen?
So I came to the US in September of 1981. I had been in college. My background in India is in physics. When I was about to finish my degree there, I got an opportunity to come to the US. And that's how I got here. And once I got here, I was studying for a while. And then, like all of us, got into the workplace environment.
And then there was no turning back from there.
Exactly.
Yeah. So why did you decide to sell your businesses and go into philanthropy on a, I'm assuming it's more on a full-time basis now?
Yes, that's correct. Since my childhood, I was very much interested in helping people. And I was always toying with the idea, how can I help people? My destiny took me to the software company that I established. And while the company reached to being the largest provider of the service in the US to the deregulated energy industry, I thought now's the time that I can kind of start devoting more time to my philanthropic interests and endeavors. And that's when I decided that I need to sell my company to find myself more time to spend on my philanthropic activities. So that's how it all happened.
And how did you identify the organizations that you actually wanted to contribute to? So what was the one single aspect of each one of those organizations that really inspired you to want to be associated with them?
So it has been happening over many years. It has been growing on me. The first organization that I got involved with was Ekal Vidyalay. This is an organization that was running 100,000 schools in the most remote and tribal areas of India. And the organization provides free education to about 2.4 million children every year in these remote villages where the government does not have enough of a presence. These are very deep tribal areas where people have not even seen anything that is a present day environment for people who have enough access to outside resources. This kind of grew on me over the years. What I liked about the organization was that they teach these students at only $1 a day. The entire school runs on $1 a day. And this was something that appealed to me a lot. And then when I started to find out more, I found out that there's no building, no structure. The classes are offered underneath a tree or in the courtyard of the village chief and stuff. So there's no expense, there's no structure to maintain. The only expense they have is a blackboard and some a piece of chalk, and that's about it, and the salary of the teacher, and that's about it. So this appealed to me a lot, and then I started getting more involved with Ekal Vidyalaya. And then over the years, so now Ekal Vidyalaya's model is the K-5 education area. So from kindergarten to the fifth grade, that's what Ekal Vidyalaya does. And then I got exposed to Vidya Bharati. Vidya Bharati runs, again, about 1,200 schools in India. And they teach about 3 million children every year. But Vidya Bharati caters to the first grade to the 12th grade. And then that also appealed to me because once the children come out of Ekal Vidyalaya, then many of them go to Vidya Bharati. And both these organizations are such that they teach regular education, reading, writing, arithmetic, math, et cetera, but their focus is a lot on value education. They provide good values to children, how we should be good citizens of the country, how we should do good things, and so on and so forth. In my days, when I was in school, we used to have a subject called moral science. I don't know whether they still have the moral science subject or not, but this is the equivalent of moral science that they teach in Ekal Vidyalaya and Vidya Bharati. So that's how I got attracted to these educational institutions. Also, the driving force was my father was an educationist all his life, and he worked very hard to increase the standard of education in India. So after he passed away, I was looking for something to keep his flame alive in a way. And I figured that these two organizations would be a great place to continue working on his mission. So I've been deeply involved in Ekal Vidyalaya and Vidya Bharati for that reason.
And how many years has it been since you've actually started to be involved?
So I've been involved with Ekal for about 15 years now.
Okay.
I used to be a small donor. Every year I would write a small check for Ekal Vidyalaya. And then one year our family decided that we're going to go to these villages and we're going to visit these schools ourselves and see what exactly happens in these schools and how is it that these children are given education underneath a tree or in a courtyard, and how does it all happen? It was very difficult for us to even comprehend how this was possible. And then when we went there, our jaws dropped because we saw that the model is that they take the oldest girl from that village, they train that village to become a teacher, and she's the one, who teaches all the children all the education. That means it's a one-teacher school. They only have one teacher, and they have only 40 to 50 kids in that school. And that teacher teaches them Hindi. Even, you'll be surprised, they teach them English as well, and math, and elementary science. So they teach them all of this. And what was very surprising was there was a blind child in one of the villages. And every time the teacher would ask any question, the blind child would raise his hand and answer the question. So much so that the teacher had to request him nicely Ramu, please let some others also answer the questions. And that's how the other children answer those questions. Imagine if Ekal was not there, this blind child would have just had to waste his knowledge and intelligence and never been able to realize the benefits that he would be able to realize after he got an education. And there were many cases like this blind child. There was another handicapped child who had a leg issue. Very bright, very bright. And when we saw this, we said, wow, this is amazing. We are now, the organization is now enabling so many children to accomplish so much in life that otherwise they would not have been able to.
Yeah, so it's an opportunity which has been provided to them. And it's getting bigger and bigger because you're obviously finding other ways to help in encouraging more and more education in these villages and these tribal areas. And of course, the fact that you've combined it with Vidya Bharati, there is the opportunity for higher education as well. And it also helps in getting them to go out into the world, find themselves employment, and be able to sustain not just themselves, but also their families. So I think that's amazing. I also wanted to ask you about the Sankara Eye Foundation. My understanding from my research is that you are also very heavily involved with that organization. Am I right?
Yes, that's correct.
So can we talk a little bit about how you got involved with the Eye Foundation and what is the objective of the Eye Foundation? What is the kind of work that you're doing? What is the kind of impact that the organization is looking at achieving over the next 10 years or so? So just if you could give us a little bit of a background on that as well.
Sure. So Sankara Eye Foundation performs free eye surgeries for the very poor people in, again, these remote villages in India, where these unfortunate folks don't even know where to go when they have an eye problem because there are no eye clinics or no hospitals, etc.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Etc. So the way I got involved was, I think more than 10 years back, maybe 15 years or so back, Sankara Eye Foundation did an event here in our New York area. And I attended the event. And when I saw what they do, my heart just went out. And after the program, I reached out to the organizer who was the founder of Sankara Eye Foundation. And I told him, hey, you guys are doing a wonderful job. I'd like to help more. So tell me how I can help your organization. He said, hey, yeah, we need a lot of volunteers. So I'm glad that you reached out to us. Next year, you organize this program in New York because we don't have anybody that we can rely on. And we would certainly want you to hold a fundraiser here. That's how it happened. And then the next year, I worked and reached out to all the folks in the New York area, invited them to our fundraising event, where we gave them information about how Sankara performs these eye surgeries, and then raised funds for the activities. So the way Shankara works is that they have 11 eye surgery hospitals in India, again, from all the way from the north to the south India, and then from east to west. And then they've partnered up with another 10 eye hospitals from some other organizations. For example, Akhand Jyoti is an organization that has 5 hospitals. And then there are some other organizations that have a couple of eye hospitals. So they've partnered with 10 other eye hospitals. Together, they have about 21 eye surgery hospitals all over India. They have performed 330,000 surgeries just this last year. And Shankara has what's called a Vision 2030, means in Vision 2030, Shankara wants to perform 1 million free eye surgeries by the year 2030.
Wow.
And in order to accomplish that, we need a lot of funds.
Yeah.
So just for that purpose, a very large gala has been organized on October the 7th in New York City, where we are looking to bring the who's who of the New York and the New Jersey and tri-state area so that we can raise significant funds so as to get closer to the 1 million free eye surgeries a year target. You'll be very happy to know that in last year, we had our first gala for Shankara Eye Foundation in New York City, where we raised $1.3 million. And this year, we're looking to raise more than $2 million.
That's incredible. Yeah. And so what are the typical eye surgeries that are performed?
So mainly the eye surgeries that are performed are cataract eye surgeries.
Okay.
And then that's the mainstay of the surgeries. And then a much smaller number of more complicated surgeries like retina transplant and all the other specialty surgeries that need to be performed on stage on patients. What Shankara does is they have several buses that go to these villages and they run eye care camps in these villages. Once they find out, many patients are cured right there in the village itself through the eye care camp. But the ones that need surgeries are given a date. And then on that date, they have buses that go to all these villages, pick up these patients, bring them to the Shankara Eye Hospital, feed them, house them, and all of that. Next day, early morning, the surgery is performed, and then they're sent to a recovery room. And then later on in the afternoon, they are given their meals and such. And on the third day, the same bus takes them back home and then has them be in their natural environment. So it's a three-day process that the Shankara Eye Hospitals go through. And they perform the largest number percentage of surgeries are cataract surgeries. And then the other are specialty operations and surgeries that the patients need.
Okay, interesting. The fact that you've been doing philanthropy now for over 15 years, you have so much experience and knowledge and care that I would be really interested to see what kind of advice you would be able to give, you know, a young aspiring philanthropists who want to do something similar or who are entrepreneurs and they are now wanting to choose this path. So what kind of advice would you have for them?
Sure. So, I'm a small person. I can't give them too much advice.
You're not a small person. From whatever you've been sharing with me, I think you're being really humble about it.
Thank you very much. I've seen that usually there's a calling that you have, and the calling shows you all these ways how to navigate through. And you heed to the call and you keep doing what your heart tells you to do and you find ways. Now, since you asked this question, I'll certainly answer it. I don't want to not answer it. I've usually seen that in the charitable world, we need to decide if we want to get involved, be honest about it, and then really undertake the activity that most appeals to us, and then continue working on those projects. Many times I've seen that people come in the first day and then they probably drift away, or they come for maybe two gatherings or meetings and then they don't come back. So the first first requirement would be for anybody who's interested in doing something for the underprivileged is to, first of all, decide in their own mind, are they serious about helping out? And if they are, then certainly keep working in that direction. And I can assure you that it grows on you, because when you do something for someone, it gives you tremendous satisfaction and tremendous happiness. And that happiness is very difficult to explain. It's something that, you know, you can buy a nice shirt for yourself, you can buy a nice shoe for yourself, that happiness is there for one day, and then after that, it's business as usual. But if you do something good for someone, that happiness is eternal. You are happy that you really did something good for someone, and it's a different type of joy. That joy stays with you forever. And then when you think, I did this small little thing for this person, and that person was able to now see for the rest of their lives. For example, in Shankara, our model is $30 pays for a free eye surgery for a poor person. Now, $30 in the US is really nothing. Anybody can donate $30. But then when you think about this and you say, I just gave $30 for this free eye surgery, and this person was not able to see, and now this person is able to see and live a fulfilled life, this person can now go and work profitably. He or she can feed their family. They can lead a full and wholesome life. Just imagine how much happiness you can get out of that.
Yeah.
You have now given a human being the same access that you had. And now you've not given a person a fish, but shown them how to fish. And now they can fish for the rest of their lives. And that feeling is tremendous. That feeling is so fulfilling that it makes you want to do more. So that's my only advice to folks. Do something for someone, and that happiness will be eternal. It'll be amazing.
Absolutely amazing. That's like such a, even just listening to you, it makes me also feel like, yeah, it's such an important factor that you have been an enabler in changing someone's life for the better. And for that someone who probably had no idea that there was even a possibility, has suddenly been seen or has been shown a new life just by, for example, with the Eye Foundation, the fact that person can now actually have his or her eyesight back for whatever reason the problem or whatever the problem may have been, I think is just incredible. And to be able to bring about that change and continue to do it without expecting anything in return, it's like a very beautiful, and I can completely understand the kind of satisfaction that you feel after having seen that kind of an impact. I think is just incredible. So thank you so much, Mohan. It's been a very inspiring conversation, and your journey also has been so inspiring. And I'm sure a lot of my listeners and viewers will have a lot to take away from it, as have I. So thank you so much. I've really, really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you so much, Payal, for inviting me to your show. And I'm so happy that I was able to share the little experience that I have in the charitable space. We really want more and more folks to help out people who've not been as fortunate as ourselves. And believe me, the folks that want to do a little bit more for the underprivileged people, will just derive this tremendous sense of joy and happiness that they'll want to do more and more for these folks and make this world a much, much better place to live in.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Mohan.
Thank you so much, Pat. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
For more weekly conversations, do listen to Melting Pot on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. Follow us on YouTube and on Instagram at Podcast Melting Pot. So until the next episode, this is Payal signing off.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.